It's good to see everyone this morning. Thankful to be here. Second Sunday of our new year. I want to direct your attention this morning to Philippians chapter 3 and verses 12 through 16, where Paul says, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, those things which are behind, and reaching forward to those things that are ahead, I press for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing." This is a time where a lot of times we talk about resolutions. We resolve to do better than have in the past. I was talking to some last week and said, I don't make resolutions. What strikes me in this reading and the point that I would like to point out to us, Paul says, not that I have already. Already perfected. I believe you see there an indication that he is striving for perfection. He is following Christ Jesus, our Lord, who is indeed perfect. And if we follow him perfectly, we will be just as he is. We will be pure as he is pure, holy as he is holy. We will be walking in the light as he is light, and there is no darkness in him at all. He says, "I press on that I may lay hold of that." A lot of times we talk about the plan of salvation. I think a lot of times we don't go back far enough. But God's plan for us is that we would always be in fellowship with him. When he created everything that he created, including us, it was that we be in fellowship with him. Our sin, he reveals, separated us from him. And that's what Paul is talking about here. I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Christ Jesus lays hold of each of us that we might be like him, that we might live to the glory of God, that we might revere God and keep his commandments and glorify him thereby. Notice he says later here, he says, "I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." And so, I'm pressing on. I'm pressing toward the goal. Can we say, I am resolved? When you say that Paul was saying, I am resolved to press on towards this goal for which Christ has laid hold of me, to be like him, to live to the glory of Almighty God. When we turn from our sin to follow Christ, that's a resolution, if you will. It's a We resolve to follow Him. The sixth chapter of Romans is about the fact that we become dead to sin and walk in newness of life with Christ. And so, with that idea in mind, that we are resolved to press on, we are resolved to be what God created us to be, what God provided that for us to be saved, that we can be like Him and in fellowship with Him. I am resolved to lose the weight of sin. This is a time of year that a lot of people start thinking about, I need to lose some weight. And probably most of us are in that boat. And there's an industry today that makes a lot of money from those resolutions. We've all tried that before. You get that yo-yo effect and all of that. But there's a heavier weight than our how many pounds we might be carrying on our body. It's the weight of sin. I saw a little video this week of a woman who asked a young man, why does God send anyone to hell? Why does God send people to hell? His answer was pretty good, I thought. He said, God doesn't send people to hell. Our sin sends us to hell. Our sin separates us from God. And if we continue in our sin, we are going to be apart from God for all eternity in a place that God describes to us as hell, a place of torment, a place of outer darkness. It's a pretty good answer. It's our love of sinning, our, you might say, our resolution to sin rather than our resolution to be what God has called us to be, that sends us to hell. But we need to be resolved to lose the weight of sin. Hebrews 12, in the first two verses, after talking about that great cloud of witnesses, all of those people of faith that we read of in the Old Testament who heard what God said, believed what God said, trusted what God said, and did what God said. All of those examples of faith. Considering all of those examples, let us lay aside every weight. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run with endurance. I'm resolved to run this race, no matter what, the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus. You know, when you run a race, you run it with the finish line in mind. You've got a goal. You're going someplace. There's a line you want to cross. There's a goal you want to achieve. Jesus Christ, living up to His example, is our goal. He's the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross. Why do people run races? Why do they train? Why do they go through the pain of building up their strength, of losing whatever weight they need to, denying themselves of some pleasure so that they might gain more strength and more energy? Why do they do that? Well, they're looking to achieve some prize, some goal. What are we looking for? We're looking for the joy of eternity in the presence of God and the heavenly host. And so Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, the joy of seeing people coming out of their sin and allowing him to pay the price for their sin in his death and then rising to walk in newness of life, the joy of seeing people embrace this salvation that was offered by God and the fellowship that we can have with God. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Jesus said, "No one takes my life from me. I lay it down." Why? Why would you do that? Because he loves us to pay the price for our sins. He despised the shame. He is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And when we make this decision to lay aside every way, doubting God, lay that aside. Look at people of faith in the past who heard what God said, trusted what God said, did what God said, and glorified God because they did. If what one man can do, another man can do. What they did, you and I can do. They live to the glory of God, and so can you. So can I. So can we, as we support each other in laboring with Christ. So let's resolve to lose the weight of sin, every sin, not harbor any love for any sin. Lay aside every weight. Let us resolve to exercise greater discernment between good and evil. You know, if you're resolved to lose the weight of sin, you might say, well, or lose your physical weight, you might say, well, one way you can do that is exercise more. Yeah? And so there's a great industry that making money off of that. And that's good. Nothing wrong with that. And if you practice that, you'll lose weight. You'll gain strength. You'll see the benefits of it. But it's more important that we exercise our senses to discern good and evil. If you've paid any attention over the last, well, let's just say last decade, you can see that there's a lot of sin that is embraced by society that just 10 years ago would have been identified as sin and declared to be sin and wrong, harmful, not only a sin against God and a sin against mankind, but harmful against society. But today, been brainwashed into thinking, oh no, this is normal. What we thought, that was all wrong. This is what we need to think. Exercise greater discernment between good. Well, how do you know what is good? And who's to say what is evil? Do you think that there would ever be a time when people would call evil good and good evil? Do you think that would ever happen? Seems to me like God said that it would, and we're living in that time. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14, we read, solid food belongs to those who are of full age, mature. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern between both good and evil. Have their senses exercised.
talk about having a exercise, but you know that getting that solid. Talk about the Word of God. Talk about the meat of God's Word, not just the milk of God's Word. We are, as Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, hunger and thirst for righteousness. And those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will be filled. What is your spiritual appetite for? Is it toward some wickedness? Let's lay aside every weight. Well, there's some of those weights I can carry. Or is it toward righteousness, holiness, purity? Those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, Jesus, the Son of God, the Word of God, the Lord, has said, you will be filled. To know righteousness and to practice righteousness, there has to, first of all, be a desire. Why do you eat? Sometimes we eat the things that we eat because we have a craving for it. I saw, you know, just recently we went to Ohio for our holiday season and so forth, and I saw a McDonald's billboard that, I don't know if I remember exactly what it said, but it said, something to the effect that you have a craving for it, but you cannot resist. How about that? Yes, I can. I can resist the craving for McDonald's. I can resist a craving for anything that I have a craving. Are you this way when somebody says you can't do something? That's when you say, do you have a craving for righteousness? Do you have a craving to be holy, pure, to be other-centered instead of self-centered? Do you have a craving for that? That's what righteousness is. If you hunger and thirst for righteousness, Jesus said, you will be filled. One of the reasons we're not making the progress that we would like to make is because we haven't developed that hunger and thirsting after righteousness. We want to go to heaven. There's just a few weights we want to carry with us. God said it doesn't work that way. Pure means pure. To improve our spiritual health, we need to have a desire to grow in the favor and the knowledge of the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2 says, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word. The emphasis there is really on the word desire. As a newborn babe desires the milk to be fed. You've seen that, haven't you? Become restless and they start kind of, you know, and it's time, you know. But if you neglect, they kind of become insistent, don't they? They have a very strong desire to be fed. Have a desire for the Word of God. That desire for His Word and the gratifying of that desire of the knowledge of righteousness and the desire to practice righteousness results in the growing in righteousness. Chapter 3 of 2 Peter and verse 18 says, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is one of those occasions where the word favor would probably be better serve us as understanding what we are to grow in. We grow in the favor of our Lord and Savior Jesus. How do you do that? Well, God wants us to be pure and holy. And if we do that, we'll grow in His favor. He wants us to grow in knowledge of Him, and we will be found in His favor. We grow in the favor and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory, both now and forever. It's not for our glory, it's for His glory. That His glory might be seen in us, that His light might be seen in us, that His righteousness might be exalted. I'm resolved to better organize my thoughts and words and deeds. Have you ever noticed at this time of year, I've noticed anyway, that when you walk around in Walmart and other such places, the things that are on sale, I mean, there's a lot of clearance items that are on sale, you know, clothing and that type of thing. But there's one thing that always impresses me about this time of year that's on sale, and that's organizational things, totes and stuff that you put stuff in. It's because people are cleaning things out and getting rid of things. Now, there's some things I want to keep. Well, what am I going to do with those? Well, I got to have some place to store it, so nothing wrong with it. Getting organized is a wonderful thing. It's a good thing to have a resolution to get organized. It's a good time of year to do that. But it's even more important that we organize our thoughts and our words and our deeds, that they're in line with the Word of God and His will for us. We need to remove the evil and to be filled with the good. Very good passage on this is found in Colossians chapter 3 and verses 15 through 17. It says, therefore, put to death. You know, death is pretty final. But when, and we recognize that, don't we? We're faced with death every day, it seems like, on the news. Sometimes maybe we begin to be a little calloused towards it. Last Sunday, a young football player was knocking on death's door. And an entire industry that had banned praying on the field, everybody was praying. On the field, in the stands, in the city, throughout the United States, praying for this young man to live and to be okay. So far, so good. But we realize that death is final. And that's what God is saying here. Put to death your members which are on the earth. Make sin final. Make your love for sinning final. Don't love it anymore. If you hunger and thirst for righteousness, you'll be filled. What if you hunger and thirst and you have a craving for sin? What do you think is going to happen? Put it to death. What are they? Fornication. Uncleanness. Impurity. Impure thoughts. Impure actions. Things that are not consistent with the purity that you find in God. Passion. Evil desire. And covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. You know, this isn't just a suggestion. This is a commandment. This is something we must do. We must put these things to death. And if we don't lay aside every weight, we're disobedient. In which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. The sad thing is that he knows that some Christians are still doing that. But as a Christian, you resolve to put these things to
put these things to death. These things are obvious. But what about these things? But now ye yourselves are to put off all these. You're to be dead to these. Anger. I'm not committing fornication. Wrath. Hot anger. Malice. Blasphemy. Filthy language. Get out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another. Since you have put off the old man with his deeds, put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him. You have a knowledge of who Christ is, and you're following him. You don't see any of these things in him. You can't claim to be following Christ and be harboring anger and wrath and malice and blasphemy and filthy language, lying to one another. There is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. We're all the same before Christ. There are no exceptions to this rule. Therefore, as elect of God, holy and beloved, put on. Resolve to put those things off, and resolve to put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must. That's a pretty strong word. It's so also you ought to do. So also you must do. Above all these things, put on love. Others focus instead of self-focus, which is the bond of perfection. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were called in one body. And let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace and favor in your hearts to the Lord. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of, do all by the authority of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father through Him. I am resolved to remove evil and to do good. Philippians 4 and verse 8 says it this way. Brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, any excellence, if there be any praise, think on it. Let this be bring your thoughts better, bring your meditation well. I'm resolved to abound in the Lord's work. Ephesians 2 and verse 10 says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared before Him that we should walk in. God.
more. I find it interesting kind of how the Bible just amplifies God's word. Abound means more than that. Abound more and more, just as you receive from us how you ought to walk and yourself. I am resolved. Are you resolved to please God? Are you resolved to walk in the light that He is in light? Are you resolved to be what He created you to be and what He saved you to be? Death and Son. If you're this morning and you're out of Christ, you're dead to God because of your sin, would you allow Christ to pay the price for your sin? Would you trust Him and obey Him? Would you turn from your life to walk in His life and His way, confessing as the Son of God, baptized today in obedience to His command for the remission? Rise to walk with Him in newness of life and walk in a way of life that pleases God. Are you resolved to do that? We would hope that you are ready to assist you today in your obedience to Christ and baptism. If you're here today as a child of God, out of favor with God, because of your